It's page 29 in our course book. This particular pastime frees us from the cultivation or tendency to cultivate karma and jnana, and it also cures us from the tendency to think that the Lord's Aishvarya feature, his opulent feature, is higher than his Madhurya feature, his feature of sweetness. So there's a very nice part of the Lalita Madhava, and we'll try and act or speak it out at least. What it is Krishna has gone to Dwaraka and he's lamenting in separation from the Brijbasis. So in order to comfort Krishna, Narada Muni organizes a play about Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. So Krishna is in the audience with Madhu Mangal and Uddhava, and suddenly he sees on the stage himself and Radharani and Lalita, and Krishna's just Dwaraka Krishna watching this, because Narada has organized it extremely expertly. It's just like astonishingly expertly done. So Krishna in the play looks like Krishna, and Krishna becomes bewildered. Krishna in the audience becomes bewildered and Dwaraka Krishna starts to hanker for Vrindavan. So it's very nicely illustrating this point, how the Lord's Madhurya feature, his feature of sweetness, is higher than his Aishvarya feature. Because Krishna in Dwaraka, of course, is more manifesting the Aishvarya feature, his opulent feature. But we need a few volunteers. First of all, I'm going to volunteer. I'll be the, what's called the Sutradhar, who's actually Rupa Goswami, making little points here and there to introduce different scenes in his own play. So I'll be him. And I'll also be, if you don't mind, Krishna. Forgive me for that. I know I couldn't possibly be any good at it, but I've been trying for many lifetimes. One last plea. So I'll be Krishna in the audience. We need a Krishna in the play. Who would like to be Krishna in the play? It's only a short thing, it'll take 5 minutes, the whole thing. Lokabandhu Prabhu, Lokabandhu Prabhu, by the way, has a degree in speech and drama and taught it for I don't know how many years, 30 years or something. So you can be Krishna, actually Madhava. He's called Madhava in the drama. We need a Madhu Mangal, a jolly person. Sankarshan Prabhu is nominating Mahamantra Prabhu. Well, there are other parts. Would you like to be? There are just two lines you have to speak. Yes, it's nice. You'll like it. We need an Uddhava, a very sober counselor, level-headed. Why doesn't someone volunteer? Oh, Janmashtami Prabhu. Will you be Uddhava? Okay. So that's, I think, the men's parts. Then we need Srimati Radharani to speak a couple of lines. Srimati Radharani in the drama. Who will be Srimati Radharani? Mother Manjari, good, thank you. We need a Lalita who's associating with Srimati Radharani in the play. Who'll be Lalita? Mother Madri, will you be Lalita? Do you mind? And we need Mukhara. smukara who's in the audience and has to be stopped from running into the drama when she sees Radharani. So who'll be mukara? Mother Mahamaya, would you mind? And we need someone, one Mataji, to be Nati, who's like a female director of the play, and Purnamasi, who stops Mukara from running into the drama when she sees Radharani. Mother Moksha Rupa. Okay, very good. So we'll do it, not right at this moment, but towards the end, or maybe in the middle, perhaps, in the middle of the class. We'll see how it goes. I wrote another drama. Oops, sorry. Oh, part two of someone's paper. Whose handwriting is this? Mohana Leela. This takes place on the same day as the killing of Agasura. Same day. And Krishna's just killed Agasura, and the cowherd boys have just had a big celebration, and now they continue on. They continue on herding the calves. This is while they're still herding the calves. So this is taking place, in other words, it would appear while Krishna's still residing here in the Vrindavan area. So there's a very nice description of how the Krishna and the cowherd boys are walking along together, enjoying the beautiful scene by the Yamuna, beautiful forest scene. Then, as is their custom, of course, as we all know, Krishna having just killed a demon, time for breakfast. Perhaps it's lunch. What would it be? Anyway, yeah, I think it's lunch. Time for lunch. So they all sit down together. They all sit down in such a way that everyone's facing Krishna. And all the boys are watching Krishna intently, just to see when he's going to look at them. They're all just sort of like hanging on it, just waiting for Krishna to look at them. Then they take out their lunch baskets, little packages, different little packages of lunch. And then, of course, it's not that they're all thinking, oh, now I'm going to eat my lunch. But actually they're thinking, maybe Krishna will accept some of this food. So they are all offering Krishna food. And they're trying to get Krishna to eat their food by encouraging him in different ways. One boy will say that, oh, this preparation is so nice. Another boy will say, oh, look, I've got this. It's even better. In this way, they're trying to get Krishna to take something from them. I don't think everyone themselves. So, in this way, Krishna and Balaram, the cowherd boys, they would exchange their different items of foodstuffs and eat and laugh and joke and steal and doing things of this sort. And then just as we come to the point that Lord Brahma's about to steal the calves, Krishna, there's a nice description of Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam. He's sitting down, his flute is tucked into, he has like a waistband, he has a dhoti, but then there's another piece of cloth wrapped around his waist also, like a waistband. So his flute is tucked in there on the right-hand side. And his bugle, his buffalo horn bugle, and his stick for driving the calves, they're tucked in on the left-hand side. And Krishna is holding in his hands, who knows what? One of his hands.
Is that preparation made after yogurt?
fruit, right? So he's holding it in his hand. Holding it in his hand. Just like the whirl of a lotus with all these other nice little cowherd boys around. It's a very beautiful scene. Prabhupada, in the Bhagavatam, in his comments, his commentary, he says that as they're sitting there, one bumblebee came and he was buzzing around Madhu Mangal, and Madhu Mangal was getting a little anxious. And Krishna jokingly challenged the bumblebee. Why have you come here to disturb my friend Madhu Mangal? You want to kill a Brahmin. This is not very good. And all the boys laughed. So there are all these types of exchanges going on. Jiva Goswami, in one of his books, describes that in order to please Krishna, sometimes during lunch or at different times, some of the cowherd boys, like two cowherd boys, they would engage in a mock debate. And he describes they would expertly propound the most illogical views in long-winded debates. So in other words, they would just talk nonsense, but so expertly propounding these nonsensical ideas and taking it very seriously. And Jiva Goswami explains that Krishna would just become amazed, and he would just stare in wonder at how these cowherd boys were carrying on, debating with each other. So then, somehow or other, the calves just started straying away, then they were gone. In a matter of just a very, very short period of time, suddenly they were gone. Now, of course, we understand this happened by the influence of Yoga Maya, because as we mentioned some time ago, when Mother Yashoda one time, on the first day that Krishna and Balaram were to take the calves out, Mother Yashoda was saying, I want to come too. And the boys were saying, no, you can't come. But she was saying, why not? Why do I have to stay here all the time? I can stay here sometimes, and sometimes I'll come with you. But then Balaram said, you know, you wouldn't fit in. And she had been saying, but I know how to herd cows. I know how to do it. I've done it. They said, you wouldn't fit in because we don't herd the cows. We're not going to herd the cows. We're just going to play. And we know that the calves are just going to follow us. So we won't have to do anything about looking after the calves because they'll be inseparable from us. But here we find that the calves stray away. So this is clearly Yoga Maya, or the Leela Shakti, the pastime potency of the Lord. We heard yesterday that Leela Shakti, presiding deity, is Vrindadevi. So by her arrangement, the calves strayed off. And then the cowherd boys looked around and they were gone. And then they got into great anxiety. But Krishna, because Krishna is so fond of his devotees, Krishna immediately volunteered, don't worry, you stay here, continue taking your lunch, I'll go fetch the calves. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam that this is an example of Krishna's causeless mercy. Krishna didn't say, well, look, you're my devotees and I'm God and we have a problem here, so you should sort it out. You're meant to do all the work and I'm meant to receive the worship and enjoy all the work. But Krishna said, no, you stay here. I'll go get the calves. So this is because Krishna is so merciful to his devotees. Very kind. He's prepared to go and do the hard work and just let them relax and take lunch. So then Krishna goes and Krishna doesn't come back. And Lord Brahma comes. Lord Brahma comes and steals the calves and the cowherd boys. But do you know what? Those cowherd boys were Maya cowherd boys. They weren't the real Cowherd Boys. The real Cowherd Boys stayed there. Prabhupada discusses this in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 13. I think the term is Maya Aravaka. Maya Aravaka. Boys manifested by Krishna's Maya. And Prabhupada explains this just like when Ravana stole Sita. It wasn't Sita. It was a Maya Sita. So there's a very interesting event in the Ramayana when Ram finally recovers Sita after great trial and tribulation and so much unlimited bloodshed practically. Finally he gets Sita back. And then as soon as he's got her back and everyone's there, he turns to Sita and says, "All right, now you can do what you like." And everyone's shocked, including Sita. "Now you can do what you like. Now I've freed you from Ravana. Do what you like." So, the commentators, of course we don't really have a Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary on Ramayana, but the commentators who there are, and there are many Vaishnava commentators on Ramayana, they can't explain this. They can't explain it. But, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we have an explanation. That particular Sita that Ram was addressing was not the real Sita, it was the Maya Sita. And Lord Ram does not really have a relationship with the Maya Sita. Therefore, what happened? Huh? Is it? Fan still seems to be going. Anyway. So Lord Ram doesn't really have a relationship with the Maya Sita. So he told her, "You can do what you like. It's not like big celebration now, we're reunited after so much trouble and lamentation. But now you can do what you like." And then Sita said, the Maya Sita, this is the Maya Sita, she's saying, but Ram, pleading with Ram and saying that, you know, even though I was there with Ravana, he never touched me, I haven't been contaminated. Then she offered to enter fire, or it may have been Lord Brahma even. I think it was one of the demigods, because all the demigods were present there. And someone at least offers, "Why don't you let her pass through fire to prove that she is pure?" So then she passed through fire, and as soon as she passed through the fire, Lord Ram very happily accepted her. Because that was the real Sita who came out on the other side of the fire. Because the real Sita had been taken by Agni and was being looked after by Agni for the time being. So when the Maya Sita entered the fire, she was destroyed. And the real Sita was then given out again by Agni. So then Ram very happily accepted Sita. So, in a similar way, the Cowherd Boys here are Maya Cowherd Boys. So, anyway, despite that, Krishna... Well, we don't... I didn't find an explanation of that. But somehow by Krishna's mystical potency... they were okay. And when Krishna finally reappears, it's a year later, in one sense a year later, then the Cowherd Boys, they feel it's just like an instant that Krishna's been away. And at the end they tell Krishna, "Oh, you're back so quickly. You got the calves so quickly. Come on, sit down and take your lunch with us." Anyway, still Krishna expanded himself into the calves and cowherd boys. And then when they went home that evening, it was Krishna as the calves and cowherd boys. So the parents, for the next year, the parents were associating with Krishna in the form of the cowherd boys and the calves. So their affection for their offspring or so-called offspring increased and increased. previously they'd been more attached to Krishna than their own sons or calves, in the case of the cows, but now that Krishna had assumed those forms, they became as attached to their own children as they were to Krishna. And there's a nice description given of one time towards the end of the year. In fact, it's about a week before the end of the year, from the time that they were stolen or supposedly stolen, that the cowherd men are on the top of Govardhan Hill with the cows, and Krishna and the boys and the calves are at the bottom. And when the cows see the calves, they come galloping down Govardhan Hill. Of course, Govardhan Hill in those days was much bigger. Even now, even though it's not so big at all, but you can just imagine galloping down what's left of Govardhan Hill. Wouldn't be an easy task. And it's described that when the cowherd men came down to chase the cows, that they found it quite difficult climbing down Govardhan Hill. But the cows just galloped down because they were so attracted by their calves. And in the meantime, the cows had had more calves, new calves who were younger and more sort of dependent on them. But when they saw the other calves, who were actually Krishna, they abandoned their new calves and just ran down to the other calves, which were Krishna. And then the cowherd men came running down, very angry, and they started to chastise the cowherd boys. But as they looked into their faces, they couldn't stop themselves crying. They became overwhelmed with ecstasy and then gave up their angry mood and just started embracing their sons and smelling their heads, which is a Vedic way of expressing affection. Sankarshan, Prabhu. Sankarshan.
Could you wake up our
great soul here? Hare Krishna. Excuse me. So, the cowherd men, they lost their mood of anger. Then after a little while, they went off again with the cows. But as they were going away, they would remember their sons, who were Krishna. Krishna expanded himself into those forms. So they would remember their sons, and they couldn't stop themselves crying. So a very deep relationship, deeper relationship developed between the parents and their offspring, due to the fact that Krishna had assumed those forms. Balaram was with Krishna that day. He wasn't with Krishna the day that the actual incident occurred, the day Lord Brahma came. Balaram wasn't there because, you know why? It was Balaram's birthday. So the stealing of the cowherd boys and calves took place on the appearance day of Lord Balaram, actually. This is the actual occasion. So, Balaram, who had been covered by Yoga Maya also, when he saw this incident of the cows galloping down Govardhan Hill, and then how the cowherd men responded to their sons, then Balaram started to think, wait a minute, this is very unusual. These cows and the cowherd men are attached to the cowherd boys and the calves in the same way they're attached to Krishna. So this indicates that somehow Krishna has assumed these forms. So then he questioned Krishna, and Krishna explained. But up until then, even Balaram, for a whole year practically, Balaram had been under the mistaken impression that they were just the regular cowherd boys and calves. So at this point, Lord Brahma came along, sometime around here. Came along, of course, according to his experience of time, it was just an instant later. He came back, he wanted to have some fun, to have a good laugh, seeing this Krishna who, because Lord Brahma was feeling a little puffed up, why should this Krishna be getting so much praise we demigods should be getting praise. And particularly it's explained when Krishna killed Agasura, then the demigod showered flowers. And Lord Brahma was thinking, he didn't shower flowers. And Lord Brahma was thinking, why are all these demigod associates of mine showering flowers on this little cowherd boy, Krishna? They shouldn't do it. So then he thought, I'll show everyone. I'll show Krishna and I'll show the demigod who's really, you know, a big time person. So he stole the cowherd boys and calves, or at least the Maya cowherd boys. Then he came back a moment later, according to his experience of time, to have a good laugh. But what did he see there were the same, apparently the same cowherd boys and calves. Then he went back to check where he had hidden them and saw they were still there also. And he went back and there they were with Krishna. So then Brahma became bewildered and eventually came and offered his prayers to Krishna. Actually saw the cowherd boys and calves as Vishnu forms. And then he realized, wow, I've really made a big mistake here. We won't discuss it today, but there is a discussion about how our Lord Brahma starts in his younger days as being not exactly a devotee. Then he becomes a devotee. Then he makes advancement. And the process of advancement is punctuated with various mistakes. Chasing his daughter, then he gets corrected and makes a little advancement. Stealing the cowherd boys, then he gets corrected and makes a little more advancement. And finally becomes Haridas Thakur and becomes perfect. So, it's described, very nice description, that Lord Brahma, when he saw this and he finally realized what had happened, he became silent, just like a child's clay doll in the presence of a deity. Just like that. He felt himself to be very insignificant and foolish. And he offered his prayers, nice prayers, to Krishna. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna, even though a few moments ago, just a little while ago, he had been in his mood of being God and therefore had made that display showing how all those cowherd boys and calves were himself. But then immediately after that, he became overwhelmed by Yoga Maya again. So when Lord Brahma came to offer his prayers, Krishna thought, this is according to Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, where did this four-haired Brahma come from? What's he doing? What are these words which he keeps on speaking? I'm busy looking for my calves. I'm just a cowherd boy. I don't understand this. So he's thinking like this as Lord Brahma is offering his prayers. And he's wondering, when's he going to stop so I can get back to herding my cows, to really having a good time? He was thinking like that. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that this is indicated by the Lord's silence when Brahma finishes his prayers. The Lord says nothing. And then Brahma goes. So then Krishna returned. Vishnu avatar, a form of Vishnu. Vishnu's the real Supreme Lord, and Krishna's just one of his forms, like a Leela avatar of the real Supreme Lord, who's Lord Vishnu, or Narayan. But this, of course, is not correct. Even though Lord Narayan is very nice, we have nothing against Lord Narayan, but Krishna's even nicer. Krishna has four qualities which Lord Narayan doesn't have. Anyone know one of those four qualities? What did you? He has a flute. Well, many people have flutes. It's not just that, but he plays his flute in the most amazing way, that it can captivate all living entities. That's the point. Mother Madri? Well, so is Lord Narayan. But no, that Lord Krishna is surrounded by loving devotees. But the point is, Lord Krishna is surrounded by devotees who have a higher level or a higher standard of love of God than the devotees of any other form. Yeah, that's the basic point. Matt?
Krishna is actually controlled by his devotees?
No, that's not one of them. Sankarshan? Well, he has the most beautiful pastimes, because the other avatars also have their pastimes, and pleasure pastimes, for that matter. But his pastimes are the most extraordinary, more extraordinary than anyone else's pastimes. And the last one? Yes, he possesses a super excellent standard of beauty, beyond that of any other avatar. So these four features Krishna has, and they distinguish him from any other form of himself.
How do you understand this aspect of more appreciation for Krishna's Madhurya feature? Doesn't it mean that the residents of Vaikuntha are all making this offense?
It's not, well, yeah. See, this is their offense. It's not an offense in their case. In case of someone who's on the material platform, it's an offense, or anatha at least. Anatha doesn't have to be an offense. Offenses are one type of anatha, and there are other things which are also anathas. But anyway, the thing is that in the case of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, it's just they don't have such a complete realization. They have realization of Krishna, but it's not so complete. It doesn't extend to such a level. It extends to a certain level only, which is within the concept, the context of the Lord's Aishvarya feature. So it's just a matter of incompleteness of realization, actually. Yes, they think, well, he's very nice, a wonderful avatar. Yes, that's how they think. It's all in the mood of devotion, so it's not exactly considered an offense. It's just like a shortcoming, a lacking of completeness. Whereas in the case of someone who's on the material platform, they will think, oh, just see how opulent Lord Narayan is. He must be God. He must be the greatest because he's the most opulent. And Krishna, even though he's very nice, he can't be on the same level because he's relatively a lot poorer. So on the basis of some like mundane considerations, they make this wrong discrimination. Let us just do our little drama here for 5 minutes. If our good actors would kindly assemble. We have two stages. One is here, but we are watching what is going on this stage here. So you'll have to go over here, Lagavandhu Prabhu. Now, unfortunately, I didn't have time. It just sort of struck me about 10 minutes before the class that we could do this. So I was only able to print out 3 copies of the parts. So you're going to have to share. Do you mind sharing all? So, you're Srimati Radharani, is it? Oh, sorry. Who's Srimati Radharani? You are? Okay, fine. And who's Lalita? Oh, yes. If you could all just assemble over here, please. And the audience, you'll just have to use these. Madhu Mangal, Prabhu. Just try and see where your parts are. Oh, one of you is... You're Madhava. Yeah, you're Madhava, that's right. And I'm Krishna. Now, what part are you, Madhuji? Mukhara.
Yeah, I'm in the audience.
You're in the audience, that's right. So you have to come over here. why don't you just come around, or why don't you share with Mataji and Madhu Mangal, why don't you come over here? So you share with her, right? I know this is all a little sort of thrown together. Now, you have to use a little imagination here. Particularly to, if you're going to take me to be Krishna. Anyway, just close your eyes. So I'm, first of all, Rupa Goswami just introducing the scene as the playwright. And then I become, oh, and then Mataji, initially you're Nati, plus Purnamasi in the audience. No, wait a minute. No, you're Mukhara. Who was Purnamasi? Oh, sorry, you have to come over also. So you're Nati and Purnamasi. Just come over quickly and... up at the top of the first page and about halfway down the second page. Nati and Purnamasi. You see? So this is Madhu Mangal. There's your part there. And... that's a good line. This is Madhu Mangal. This is the assistant director plus Purnamasi. And then Uddhava and Mukhara, who's one of the older gopis of Vrindavan. But they're all in Dwaraka. We're all in Dwaraka and we're watching the drama. And here is Krishna in Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani and Lalita Devi. So just, can you all, do you think you can all follow that? Just try and remember. So he's Madhava in the play, and I'm Krishna, who's in the audience. Okay, so here I am now as Rupa Goswami, speaking to our female director, Nati, initially. Noble lady, look, we're looking at the stage there. Look. Leaving the Kunda flowers, beauty enters the Malika flowers in the forest. The cuckoos struggle to remember their long-neglected skill in singing the fifth note. Pale leaves fall from the banyan tree. A splendid springtime trembles with eagerness.
Even though she's covered with harsh sunny bonds, is it not true that this tiny bumblebee still loves this cluster of Madhuri flowers?
You heard that? We should speak up, players, as much as we can, within reason. Noble girl, well done, well done. You have spoken the introduction very well. The meaning of your words is, even though old Jatila continually tries to stop them, Krishna eternally pleases Radha with transcendental pastimes. So now.
Accompanied by its friend, the southern breeze, beautiful springtime is happy, charming with jubilant bees and birds, Vrindavana forest smiles. If Radha were to meet me here, I would be plunged into the crashing waves of the ocean of intensely blissful pastimes.
Ha ha! The demigod actors have created a double of my dear friend Krishna.
His new flute like a swan in the beautiful lotus flower of his hand. The wonderful beauty of his gunja necklace, eclipsing the splendor of rupees. And the tip of his peacock feather crown, moving in the gentle breeze. His dark splendor delights my heart.
Now I'm Krishna in the audience. My dear friend. This dramatic actor appears like a second form of my own self. Like a picture, he displays my pastimes as a cowherd boy, overflowing with wonderfully attractive sweetness and fragrance, which are so dear to the damsels of Raja. When I see such a display, my heart becomes greatly excited. I long for such pastimes and desire a form exactly like the damsels of Raja. Now, I shall ask this question of you. How can this actor enchant my enchant even my heart with the moonlight of this form.
Lord, this transformation is possible because of Devarshi. Devarshi Narada's pure devotion to you.
Am I that actor on the stage, or am I the person observing him from the audience? I cannot decide. With unblinking eyes, I stare at the great wonder before me.
Now that I am separated from my beloved, these buzzing bees make my head spin. This scent of honey robs me of all peacefulness. And these budding flowers fill me with longing to meet her again.
So, carry on.
Now, I with flute music will place my request before Lalita. Oh, Lalita, oh, girl, splendid as the eastern horizon, please bring me before my eyes, please bring before my eyes your friend, the splendid young son that is Vrishabhanu's beautiful daughter, Radha. Krishna, who holds the chakra, who is your best friend, who is like a chakravaka, the best of birds, tormented by separation from her, begs you with thousands of plaintive words.
What is impossible for Devarshi Narada's mercy? By that mercy, this actor is able to reveal the innermost feelings of my heart, which remain always unknown to others.
Not far away is ankle bell tinkling the charms, the dear of my heart. I will enter the cottage of Madhavi Vines.
Lalita and Radharani enter.
Lalita, look, look. These waves are auspicious. Athena, swan. Swan trapped in the Sadayu vine is now free. Now that swan meets her lover in the garden of lotus petals.
And a note here. In this allegory, the female swan is Radha, the swan's lover is Krishna, the Shaivala vine is Jatila, and the waves are Radha's eagerness to meet Krishna.
O female swan, this garland of waves has great love for the king of swans. That is why these waves pull you this way. Have faith and go meet your lover.
No one has suffered as I. For a long time, I've been tormented by the flames of separation from Radha. Now, lotus-eyed Radha, who's a lake where the swan of my heart enjoys pastimes, has appeared before me. Krishna rises from the throne and goes to embrace the player, Radha.
Lord, this is a scene in a play.
Oh, her face is so beautiful. It stops poets from glorifying the autumn moon. Her restless glance is a sweetness sought by the most charming, passionate does. Her eyebrow is like Karma's bow. This charming actress destroys my peacefulness, just as Radha does.
Oh, granddaughter Radha, you're alive!
She rushes forward, but...
Oh, woman blinded by love, this is a Gandhara actor in a play.
Oh, noble lady, I think Radha must have left the Sun Planet and gone somewhere else. I think the Gandharvas and Svargaloka have now brought her to this place, and she now stands before us.
Oh, Lalita, did noble Mukhar see me as she brought me from home to pick these flowers? Noble Mukhara was not the only one to see you. Jatila also saw you.
Oh, child, in truth, I was very cruel. I made you burn in the flames of suffering.
Old demoness, do not now put on this false show of love. Whenever you saw me near the boundary of the garden by your house, you would bark at me as if you had become a dog.
Noble Madhumangal, what could I have done? I did not know your secret. Noble Purnamasi cheated me.
And that's the end. Die. Okay, anyway, we just sort of pulled this together. Or half together. Just a few minutes before our class started. So the idea is, I don't know if you managed to follow it, that Krishna's in Dwarka, Mukhara is there, Uddhava is there, of course, Madhu Mangala is there, and Purnamasi is there. And they're watching a drama put on by Narada, because Narada understands Krishna's moods of separation, and he wants to appease those feelings. So he expertly puts on a drama in which Gandhavas are acting as Krishna and Radha and Lalita. So we just took out a little part. So Krishna is watching, and as he sees, this is Dwaraka Krishna, as he sees Vrindavan Krishna, he becomes first of all astonished that Vrindavan Krishna is so beautiful. As I'm watching him, I feel I want to enjoy his association just as the gopis do. In other words, Dwaraka Krishna is experiencing the feelings which prompted the Lord to appear as Lord Chaitanya, wanting to taste what Radharani tastes and experience the bliss of Radharani and appreciate the sweetness in himself which Radharani appreciates, which otherwise he can't appreciate. So when Dwaraka Krishna sees Vrindavan Krishna, who in this case is just an actor actually, but he's so astonished that he experiences a conjugal attraction to Vrindavan Krishna. That particular line which we spoke about, Krishna says, I long for such pastimes and desire a form exactly like the damsels of Raja. It's given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami actually in Chaitanya Charitamrita when he's explaining why Krishna wanted to appear as Lord Chaitanya. That other forms of Krishna, even Dwaraka Krishna, experience an attraction to Vrindavan Krishna, a conjugal attraction. So, then they were watching the drama Krishna, and Uddhava was making various wise, giving wise advice. Don't run onto the stage and embrace Radharani. She's just an actress. And also Purnamasi stopped Mukhara, because Mukhara was feeling that, oh, I abused Radharani before. I stopped her in Krishna meeting. So she wants to run on the stage and embrace the actress Radharani and somehow or other sort of make up for the offenses she committed. But Purnamasi stops her and says, it's just an actress. And then Mukhara, watching the play with Madhu Mangal, Uddhava and Krishna, she's saying, actually, yes, I really mistreated you, Radharani. And then Madhu Mangal turns to her and says, you old demoness. Whenever in Vrindavan I would come to your house, you would assume I was trying to arrange some meeting between Radha and Krishna. So you'd bark at me just like a dog. So you're just acting like you have some feelings for Radharani. Anyway. So we've run out of time. But Prabhupada, I was reading, Prabhupada was making one suggestion in this regard. How we can avoid, because we, due to our conditioning, we also have a tendency to respect wealth and power and like that. A kanishta adhikari, not that I'm saying any of you are, but a kanishta adhikari in principle, will be prone to appreciate materialistic people who are very powerful and wealthy, and even take them, he may be prone to take them more seriously than advanced devotees. Sometimes that can happen. Sometimes you get like Hindu well-wishers who are very wealthy and very powerful, and they want something done in the temple or in the movement. And some of the devotees are feeling, oh yes, we better do it, otherwise we'll lose his support. Whereas some senior devotees may be saying that actually what this man wants to do is against the principles, or you know, like the proper principles of Krishna consciousness. But the devotees may think, well, you know, we've got to keep him satisfied, so let's do what he says, and you know, they'll tend to overlook the viewpoint of the advanced devotees. I've seen it happen myself. I don't know if you've had experience like that. But as far as developing a taste for the Madhurya feature of the Lord and getting a perspective on it in relation to the Aishvarya form feature, Prabhupada suggests that one has to develop a real taste and attachment for Krishna in Vrindavan through hearing about him and relating that to karma and jnana a bit. Prabhupada says that if you don't develop that taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna in Vrindavan, then you'll be prone to remain attached to karma even. Because the way that we become attached to opulence, including how we, some sort of like part of how we may be appreciative of the opulent features of the Lord, it can be in terms of some material considerations, appreciating material opulence. So Prabhupada is explaining that if we don't develop a taste and attachment for Krishna's Madhurya feature, his Vrindavan feature, then, well, of course we won't, we can even become attached to or remain attached to karma, materialistic activity, and applying material conceptions in spiritual life, like taking opulent features of the Lord more seriously than his Madhurya features. So I'm sorry, but we've run out of time. Perhaps if anyone has a question at this point, late point, or comment,
how do you understand the Ramasabha Sanyasa Sutra? Because
from them they speak of the Lord Vrindavan pastimes, but here he's having such a different view of Krishna. We're seeing Krishna's Narayana. Now here, Brahma, we haven't gone into the prayers of Lord Brahma from the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, but When Lord Brahma is offering his prayers, he's actually offering them to the cowherd boy, Krishna, even though he has seen these Narayan forms, four-armed forms. And this is, through seeing those forms, he's become convinced about how he's made a mistake and how this is the Supreme Lord. But when he actually starts offering his prayers, then our acharyas explain, and when you get my notes for this part, the explanation is there actually. Sanatan Goswami and Jiva Goswami, when they're commenting on the first verse of the 14th chapter, which is just the beginning of Brahma's prayers, they make the point that Lord Brahma is offering his obeisances to this form that's standing in front of him, which is the cowherd boy. So actually, in the end, his realization is of Krishna, the cowherd boy, as being the supreme. But what led him to make the offense was his attachment to Aishvarya features, karma and jnana, and in that mood, not appreciating Krishna as he was manifest in Vrindavan. You know, Krishna is a name. Doesn't mean necessarily he wasn't appreciating Krishna as he's described in Shastra, but this particular Krishna, there are many people called Krishna. Krishna is a common name in India. So he thought this Krishna is not of the Vishnu category. Yeah. He was thinking he was an ordinary person. It wasn't that he was thinking, well, this is an avatar, and in that way placing that form of Krishna beneath Vishnu. He was actually thinking he was simply an ordinary person. So I don't think it really necessarily contradicts his realization of Brahma Samhita.
In the Vaidhi Sarvabhakti platform, a lot of our worship is in Aishvarya platform.
Yeah. And
it transforms from
that. Yes. One has to begin at the beginning. It means practicing, you know, in a very regulated way, devotional service. But Prabhupada, the way he presented Krishna consciousness in his classes and writings, he was regularly presenting Krishna in Vrindavan. And then there's the Krishna books, which he published very early on in the development of the movement. So Prabhupada definitely wanted that we cultivate that attachment. I think we're going to have to end here. Sorry. Tomorrow we'll discuss Renukasura. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.